to 48. That's Luke chapter 9, verses 37 to 48. Good and loud, please.
Now it happened on the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, that a great multitude met him. Suddenly a man from the multitude cried out, saying, "Teacher, I implore you, look on my son, for he is my only child. And behold, the Spirit seizes him, and he suddenly cries out. It convulses him so that he foams at the mouth, and it departs from him with great difficulty, bruising him. So I implored your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." And as he was still coming, the demon threw him down and convulsed him. Then Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the child, and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the majesty of God. But while everyone marveled at all the things which Jesus did, he said to his disciples, "Let these words sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men." But they did not understand the saying, and it was hidden from them, so they did not perceive it. And they were afraid to ask him about the saying. Then a dispute arose among them as to which of them would be greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a little child and set him by him, and said to them, "Whoever receives this little child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he was least among you all will be great."
Amen. Margaret, Mark chapter 9, verses 14 to 37. These are just three versions of the same story. So.
And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately, when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down and foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that then he said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" So he said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." Then they departed from there and passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know it. For he taught his disciples and said to them, "The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. After he is killed, he will rise the third day." But they did not understand this saying, and were afraid to ask him. Then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What was it if you disputed among yourselves on the road?" But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed amongst themselves who would be the greatest. And then he sat down and called the 12 and said to them, "If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, Whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me.
Amen. And lastly, Bev, Matthew 17, verses 14 to 21, please.
And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore pressed. For oftentimes he falls into the fire and oftentimes into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from the very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief, for truly I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, Remove from here to yonder place. And it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this time goes not out, but by prayer and fasting.
So we have an interesting story here. And this happened just after the transfiguration of Jesus. The devil, the god of this world, will never miss an opportunity to attack us, and that's often when we're most vulnerable. Now, in Matthew 17:16, we notice that the man said that the disciples could not cast it out. Now, it's the man who said that. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible does not say that the disciples could not cast it out. The Bible is recording what the man said. The reason that this man brought his child to the disciples is because he heard that they were casting out devils. And they must have been casting them out, because how else would the word spread, and why would he bring his child to them? So they could cast it out, but they didn't. Ever wondered why they... I know Jesus said unbelief, but if you ever wondered why they were in unbelief, why their faith wouldn't work. You see, that just because you can do something doesn't mean you will do it. And I've pondered over this section of scripture for many years, many years. Now, Jesus tells us that their failure was a lack of faith. Lack of faith. And of course, they come and ask him privately, you know, why couldn't we do this? And he says, it's your unbelief. Your unbelief stopped it. Now, they'd been casting out devils in his name. They had been doing that. Otherwise, they wouldn't have come to him and said, well, why couldn't we do this one? What stopped us from here? Now, in Matthew chapter 10, let's go there. I want to just establish something clearly. It's really important to understand how our faith will work. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all kinds of disease. And then in verse 8, from the Passion Bible, let me read. It says, Jesus speaking, you must continually bring healing to lepers and to those who are sick, and make it your habit to break off the demonic presence from people and raise the dead back to life. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? So did they have that authority? Yes, they did. They had the power, they had the authority, but they still couldn't do it. And it was their unbelief. Now in Luke 9:42, it says that Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit. That unclean spirit is the same spirit in Matthew 10:1 here, where it says he gave them power over unclean spirits. All devil spirits are unclean. Now, he didn't give them power over every spirit, just the unclean ones. Because angels have a spirit, you and I have a spirit, God is a spirit. So he wasn't giving them power over us or over God, but over the devils. And the devil only has unclean spirits. Amen. That's all that he has working for him. He's an unclean spirit himself. So how many of these unclean spirits did Jesus give them power over? All of them. All of them. That's important to note that. They had power and they had authority over this unclean spirit. But something blocked their faith from working, says there. Unbelief. Unbelief stopped them. The question is, why were they in unbelief? What stopped their faith? Isn't that an interesting question? It's amazing. If you keep asking God and you keep looking for it, it'll come. It'll come, and today it'll come to you too. See, and we must have faith to do the things God told us to do. Even though we have authority, even though he's given us power, we have to have faith. And what was the reason for their lack of faith? Well, the reason for their lack of faith, or the reason their faith did not work, was because of the strife about personal ambition. And I'm going to show that to you this morning. They were arguing among themselves, who's the greatest? They weren't mulling over, why couldn't we cast it out? It was, and right after the failure was, well, I'm the best. No, I'm the best. No, I'm the best. And Jesus told them in Matthew 17:21 that this kind comes out by fasting and prayer. Now, fasting does not affect devils. It does not. In fact, fasting doesn't change God. Fasting changes us. And the point is that if they had been praying and fasting and focusing on God, they would not have moved into the realm of the flesh, arguing about who is the best, who is the greatest. And they could have dealt with that devil. They could have cast it out, and their faith would have worked. If they had been walking in close fellowship with God, then they wouldn't have been arguing, and they would not have been lifted up in pride, focusing on themselves, on who was the greatest. That is a major hindrance to faith. Everything we get from God works by faith. And there's a note again from the Passion Bible from Mark 9:29. It says, our lives must be saturated with the presence of God through prayer and fasting in order to conquer the evil that is in the world and hiding in the hearts of men. What is it that God resists?
The proud.
The proud. So while they're arguing among themselves, they're decimating their faith. And we often do the same thing. Everything we get from God is by faith. It's by faith. And it works by faith. And faith works by love. by love. Faith works by love. In Hebrews 11:6 it says, without faith it's impossible to please God, for they that come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Strife, selfish ambition, pride, those are things that will rob us of the ability to move in faith. Repentance, humility, seeking God turns it around for us. Over and over in the Bible, we see that there are hindrances to faith working. But this is one of the major ones. The pride of their hearts robbed them of the connection with the Holy Spirit. Do you see what I'm saying here? That how, even though they had power, they were given power, they were given authority. In fact, they were commanded to do exactly what they couldn't do. And the reason they couldn't do it is because their focus wasn't on God, wasn't on helping this man. Their focus was on themselves and bragging rights to who was the best and who could do the best. And sometimes that's exactly what happens to us, is that we're praying for something, we want something to happen, but there's a hindrance. And it could be pride, like it was with them. Could be unforgiveness. Could be bitterness. It could be a jealousy. All of these things influence the working of faith within us. Jesus was free of all these negative emotions, if you want to call them. He was free of that. And that's why his faith worked. Jesus had the Holy Spirit without measure, the Bible says. We have it with measure. And it's critically important to have clean hands and a pure heart. If we want our faith to work, we need to regularly examine our own hearts. And I can tell you from personal experience that it doesn't take a long time to get right. You know, I got into a situation where someone needed prayer. I'd had a very bad day. Attitude was sin. There was no way my faith was going to work. No way at all. But I went to God and I repented of my attitude and thoughts and so forth. It didn't take very long. And then went in and prayed, and God did a miracle. That's the grace of God. But I knew beforehand, if I hadn't done that, it absolutely would not have worked. In fact, the Bible says, if we regard iniquity in our hearts, if we regard iniquity in our hearts, He will not hear us. If our hearts condemn us, we don't have the confidence of the things we ask for God. We know when we're in the wrong. And it's amazing, for all these years, it never occurred to me that the disciples who were with Jesus, taught by Jesus, could be just as dumb as us. But they were. You know, they were. And the Holy Spirit will show us. That's his role. He'll teach us. He'll show us. Open our understanding to things that couldn't see before. Just simply couldn't see it. And I never understood why they were in unbelief when they had been doing this. But they let something creep in. Just creep in. And I'm sure that in their minds they didn't see this as an obstacle. That they did not see their arguing amongst each other as an obstacle to their faith working. We rarely do. But it's absolutely critical that we keep clean hands and a pure heart, especially if you need a miracle. Amen?
Amen.
Was that interesting?
Yes.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty interesting myself when I found out, to be honest. But it bears witness, you know, it bears witness.